Welcome to Trespassing Allowed. Yep, we're going to cross some boundaries. We're going to share some stories. And, you know, if you can laugh at some of your failures, you're going to be okay. Because laughing at the failure says, okay, that was interesting, but now I'm going to move on. Got a question for you. What are your fears? What are the fears you have, and how does your track record play into those fears? Fear, I believe, can be a really good defense mechanism. I think an instinct of fear, sometimes on a positive note, tells us, okay, I need to research this. I need to understand this. I need to process this to where this fear that I have makes me learn and research, but I never want my fear necessarily to cause me to not go forward, because quite honestly, my dream is going to identify my life. So what are your fears? I think everyone out there has initial fears. My question to you is, what do we do with those fears? Is the fear of failing keeping us from rising to the next level? If that's the case, that's not good. Or does a realization that I may fail, I may not get it the first time, do I have a confidence in myself to say, that's okay, let me learn from my failures, and maybe when I try it the fourth or fifth time, maybe I'm successful? Has your history or track record shown that I do not want to go forward with this idea because of my fear of failure? Or does my fear tell me, you know what, as long as I don't look at it as a failure, I'll be okay? I used to coach wrestling for years, and my wrestlers would sometimes come off of the mat and they would have their head down because they had gotten beat, and they had this feeling inside of them like they had failed. I'm like, hey, you didn't lose. You didn't fail, as long as you learned something. If you came off the mat and now you're going to quit because you got beat, now we have a problem. But anyone and everyone realizes that as long as I learn from my failures, as long as I learn from that loss, I'm just living life. You know, I wasn't always known as that confident person. I grew up in a family, there were no real daredevils in our family. Shy, cautious. We worked hard. Great parents. But it wasn't really until I met individuals like the Burt Millers and had some success at the sport of wrestling and was able to find mentors and motivational people and teachers and coaches where I finally began to realize that, you know what? Once I got past that fear of failure as, oh my gosh, I never want to do this again, this was too embarrassing, and instead went forward with, you know what? All of these really good, very wise people tell me, John, yeah, you're going to have your good days. You're going to have your bad days, but don't ever quell your dreams because you're afraid you might fail. You know what? I wake up on a Sunday morning and I watch all those really good football players on Sunday afternoon. I'm pretty darn sure not a single one of them the first day at practice was able to throw the ball 50 yards or kick a 62-yard field goal. No. But something tells me that many of them, time and time and time again, took their failures and said, I can do better. I can improve. I can. You know, our track record tells us a number of things. It tells us where we've been. It tells us how we fared. And it also tells us about the fact that if I didn't do well, but I continue to push myself and push myself and push myself, years later, I could look back and I could laugh at those beginning days. I really could. The fear of failure is a very real thing. But how you address that fear is what I think is going to make you a great boss someday, a great business owner, or it's going to put you in a position that years and years from now, you're going to regret at least not giving it a try. So how does your track record give you the confidence to try something new and different? At the age of 45, I had an opportunity. I was going down to Nashville with my wife and her good friend, Paula. They were marathon runners. And they had run a number of marathons, and quite honestly, I wanted to go with them this time, kind of to be their picture taker slash cheerleader. That was my goal. We get down to Nashville, and I will admit, for about 2 weeks before we went to Nashville, on three separate occasions, I went out. One day I ran around the house, the next day I ran around my property. The third day, I ran about a mile because one of the things I did want to do was marathon runners, they start here, they go way up to running 18 to 20 miles, and then they come back because that's the process you want to take in training for a marathon. I had run about a mile and a half because when my wife and Paula got to that final 2 mile day that they wanted to run, I at least wanted to be able to jog along with them enough that I could tell them jokes, keep them happy, and at the same time, just be a nuisance. I'm good at that. So when we're down at Nashville, and that night before the race, there's a fever pitch of excitement. Everybody within the whole complex were pretty excited. They had been training months and months and months for this next day. They had a half marathon, and they were going to have a full marathon. And there were just literally hundreds and hundreds of people that were getting their packets and buying this and buying that. I was enjoying it. In fact, I was kind of getting pulled into the excitement. And then Paula, who has known me for many, many years, she looks at me and she's like, "John, why don't you run tomorrow?" "Paula, why would you say?" "I don't know. I just would like to see you. Why don't you see how far you can run tomorrow?" Now, you got to know Paula. Paula has known me for many, many years. And Paula, like my good friend, Lewis Donnelly, she's one of those people that will say to me, "I'll bet, John, you can't do this." I know this is where Paula was going. "Well, you know, Paula, I guess, you know, I could run some tomorrow, you know." In the back of my mind, my thought was, you know, worst case scenario, at some point I just decide to stop running and then somebody takes me back to the finish line or I just go and start bothering the crowd. "Okay, Paula, fine. Okay, I'll go ahead and let me sign up. I'll sign up for the mini marathon." 18 hours later, approximately, from that time, I'm now crossing the finish line of the marathon. So let me get this straight, John. You, at the age of 45, had not trained at all, except for that 1 mile, and you now have finished a marathon. Why in God's green earth, one, would you consider doing it? And two, my God, what did you do beneath the wall? Remember the wall? They talk about the wall in marathons. It's the sometimes a mile marker 20, 21, 22, either physically or psychologically, you hit a wall. And what I can tell you today is my last 6 miles of this race were my most fun and most exciting and happiest. How in the world would you go out and run a marathon without training? So let me first stop everything and say, do not go out and run a marathon because you heard John Schrader at the age of 45 ran one. Go talk to your doctor, talk to your psychologist, talk to your advisor, talk to your wife, ask your dog or cat. I am not promoting going out and running a marathon just because someone asks you, "Paula, And the funny part about, okay, so you were going to run the half marathon, and at some point in the race, there is a place where the right people going right were running the half marathon, and the people going left were running the full marathon. And because I had the half marathon number on my back, it was so funny that for about the first mile and a half after that moment, everybody, sir, please, you're going the wrong way. You're supposed to go right back there. You're going to be running the marathon. I was laughing so hard inside myself because I knew what they were thinking. This guy was an idiot. He just decided, wait, he's going to now have to run 26 miles instead of 13 miles, where in reality, I hadn't planned on running a single step the night before. What was my track record to be able to make me feel confident that maybe running this marathon was the right time in my life? When I started my business, we started out as a very small mowing company. We were so small that we had two push mowers, a pickup truck, a weed eater, a blower, and we used to mow properties all day long pushing a lawnmower. I started that way because I came out of college with very little money and I wanted to buy this business and was able to do it only because it was a small business to start out with. Understand this, I'm always going to tell you, I will not ever recommend you go to a bank and take out $2 million to start that lemonade stand business. Hey, I'm not going to be there. But I am going to tell you that, hey, if you start out small and you give yourself some time, you'll be amazed at where you can be someday. What I knew that day at the age of 45 was that for many years, I would be behind a push mower, pushing that lawnmower as fast as I could because most of my jobs were by the job. So the faster I got the job done, the more money I made. It was not uncommon for me at all to be able to go out there and push a lawnmower almost at a jog's pace for 10, 12, or 14 hours. So for those of you who don't know what runner's high is, talk to a long-distance runner or a long-distance cycler. Runner's high is basically you exert your body for so long that endorphins within your brain kind of start to go crazy. And you actually have this near euphoric feeling where everything is just going really well. And your brain is saying, yeah, this all feels good. I remember there were a number of times that would happen and he didn't even want to stop exercising because it felt so good. And it's legal. You know, I think runner's high is still legal in most states. But it was because of that realization that I had put my body many years through a constant strenuous activity for many, many, many hours that gave me this feeling that, you know what? Going out and jogging 4, 5, 6 hours, why not? Let's try it. And the fact that, yes, Paula, she knew darn good and well that she was really testing me to see just how far was he going to go. It was kind of exciting. During the race, there was a part on the last mile 19, 20, 21, where we're actually on a long boulevard. And we're starting to see people who are coming towards us that are miles ahead of us. And sure enough, my wife, I saw and picked her out. And as she's coming past me, I yelled at her and waved. And she gives me that look like, oh, yeah, you decided to run the whole thing, didn't you? And, you know, nothing surprises her anymore. She has seen and heard it all from me. Again, the fear, my fears could have been, oh, my gosh, what if I can't make this, then no big deal. I'll just blend in with the crowd and eventually get back to the finish line. But my track record said, you know what? This is as good a time as any. I would have never, ever in a million years tried this. Had I been an accountant or an engineer who spent all of my time behind a desk and I did no exercise at all, that would have been a dumb idea, okay? But because of my track record, this made sense. As you think about wanting to start your own business, or maybe you're in your business right now and you're wanting to grow it, you're wanting to expand it, maybe you're to the point in your life that you're sick and tired of being someone else's employee and you're ready to go on your own. Maybe it's time that you look at your fears, accept your fears, realize your fears, but then look at your track record and figure out how do we move past that. How much do you gain from those opportunities where maybe you didn't do it perfect the last time? That's where I see so many people who I believe have become very successful is that they do not get so frustrated when things go well that they just stop. No, they move on. So in closing, what are your fears in owning your own business? So in closing, your track record, look at it. Doesn't mean you can't change yourself as a person who maybe had those fears and now you're maybe a different person. Your track record is something that's so important, but do not look at it in the negative. Do not look at it as, I can't do this because the last time I tried, it didn't work out. No, look at it as, okay, you know what? I learned this, this, and this, and now I am a super person. So let me go for that. Hopefully, I've inspired a few of you today. Those of you who may have always wanted to do your own deal. Those of you who would love just once to be able to be in complete and total charge. Maybe now you can feel empowered that owning your own business, regardless of what that is something that is possible because people do it every single day. And maybe I can help do a whole bunch of stories and a little bit of advice. Maybe I can give you that little push that will take you there. So hang around. Come see us again.